Well, grab your copy of God's Word. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18, we have finally made it to the fall of 2026. We are exactly 8 weeks away from our centennial homecoming celebration, right? We're going to celebrate 100 years of church ministry here in Collinsville. So I want to just, right now, you're going to hear a lot over the next coming weeks, all right? Already, go ahead and mark your calendar for October 3rd and 4th. October 3rd and 4th. On the 3rd, that evening, we're going to have a huge church picnic, dinner on the grounds, okay? It's going to be a great time, really good time there, and I look forward to that. I know it's a Mississippi State football home game, but we're going to set up a TV area with speakers and chairs, and so we got you covered. You ain't got to stay home. Come and hang out with us, and we'll have a great time on the 3rd. And then on the 4th is our centennial homecoming celebration, all right? It's going to be great to have Dr. Sean Parker with us from the Mississippi Baptist Convention. He's our executive treasurer there with the executive director treasurer with the Mississippi Baptist Convention. We're going to have five former pastors back with us, all right? Former lead pastors, David Sellers, Hal Bates, Wade Ricks. Wade will actually be preaching that morning. We're looking forward to that. Along with former worship pastor, Stephen Ferrand. And of course, we are always blessed to have with us former student pastor Nathan Trosper, all right? He just kind of baked in already, all right? Now, former student pastor Andy Murray, he can't be with us on that Sunday because he's heading out on a mission trip that day, okay? But he's been invited and may be here Friday and Saturday with his wife if they can work that out. So it's going to be a real special weekend, all right? Kind of leading up to that, again, just kind of laying out some stuff here, we plan to produce an in-house centennial church directory. I know a lot of you ask from time to time, hey, when are we going to do another church directory? I think maybe, what was it, what year was it? 2018, was that the last time we did one? It's funny to go back and look at those pictures, y'all. I'm telling you. All right, folks have changed, okay? But we're going to produce an in-house. We'll do pictures in-house and produce the directory right here. We'll begin taking pictures in late August through mid to late September. So we just want to just encourage you to be looking for promotional communication to help you reserve a time for your household to come take a picture. It's going to be just a beautiful way to commemorate and to celebrate our 100th. But remember, we're not just celebrating our 100th, right? We are celebrating our 100th by blessing our 20. All right? And if you're new to us and you may be wondering, well, what does that language mean? Well, we've seen this video before, but for those of you who haven't yet, check this out.
This is Papa Bear.
On location in the garage, Papa Bear got some cocoa with your name on it. What's your 20?
All right, time for the starter's gun. Rusty, what's your 20?
What's your 20? About 16 miles this side of Mississippi.
But I'm going to leap right ahead to meet you guys at record breaking.
What's your 20, Liar One?
Luke, this is Mr. Queen. What's your 20?
We're just putting a holler on a waiver and heading towards center.
It's Detective Parnell.
Hey, Ron, this is Ranger Trevette.
What's your 20?
John and Conch, what's your 20?
What's your 20?
Oh, I'm about 4 miles ahead of you, turkey.
So that is our 20, right? And so that's sort of CB talk. What's your 20? CB talk. To basically ask, what's your location? Well, our location is Collinsville, Mississippi. It's surrounding communities. And this is our local mission field. God planted us here 100 years ago. And we're looking forward to just dig into, right, to pour out into this place, all right? We delineate our 20 with a circle as we look on the map here. I want you to kind of see this. It may be hard for you to see that red line. We need to make it bigger and bolder at some point to get that going. But that circle, if you can make it out, that is our 20 right there. It represents a 20-mile diameter, all right? It also represents a 20-minute drive to our church, all right? Again, it may be hard to see, but our 20 extends into the southwest corner of Kemper County to like the Damascus community, south almost to I-20, just west of Lost Gap, all right? East to the Bailey community, almost to Highway 39, maybe even touches Highway 39 just a little bit at one point, and then west to like Little Rock and Good Hope. Beloved, this is our primary mission field, and our challenge is to celebrate our 100th by blessing our 20. And our ministry team, we've come up with a series of really great opportunities in September, October, and November. I just want to tell you right now, the fall is going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait to get out and just serve the Lord. But if we're going to bless our 20, there are some things that we have to do. And even today, right? Even today and over the next three Sundays, we're going to look at what these actions are, right? Through the lens of Jesus's parables. Now, what are parables? Well, parables are, this is the definition I like, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story told with everyday trappings, right? Familiar trappings that illustrate a spiritual principle. And so today's parable is found in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. It's the parable of the persistent widow. Jesus told this story to teach us something, and that something is something that will help us bless our 20. All right, let's look here at the text with me. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, and he, that's Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give them justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together and just ask God to give us eyes for this text. Father, we come and ask that your word not just be heard today, but it would be understood. And not just understood, Father, but loved. We want to love your word. What we learn here, God, I pray we would begin in our hearts to have affection for those things. And then, Father, we don't want to just hear them, understand them, love them, God. We want to go live them. And so help us today apply what Jesus was teaching us here in this parable. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, well, amen. Well, here's today's takeaway. What can we glean from this parable that will help us bless our 20? It's today's takeaway, and it's this: pray over our 20 persistently with full faith in God. Pray persistently over our 20 with full faith in God. Prayer is the foundation of everything. Amen? Absolutely it is. And we've kind of already begun to do this, right? We kind of have been prepping for this fall for quite a while. And so back in the spring, we took time to specifically pray for our 20. But as we come here into the fall, into the actual season of our centennial homecoming, it's only wise that we begin with prayer again. And from our text here, we can glean three principles that will help you and me do just that, that will help us pray over our 20 persistently with full faith in God. And here's the first principle that we see from Jesus. It's this, is that persistence in prayer pays off. How many of you guys have found that to be true? You've learned that through experience, right? Persistence in prayer pays off. Now, Matthew here kind of telegraphs the punch of the parable here. He says in Luke 18:1, look at it with me. And he told him a parable. Jesus told him a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So before Jesus even tells the story here, before Matthew shares what Jesus said, Matthew basically says, hey, before I share this with you, here's why Jesus said this. And I'm thankful for that kind of clarity, aren't you? I mean, again, that's what I need, clarity. I love when God makes it easy and simple. Why did Jesus tell us this story? Well, plain and simple, he wants us to pray without ceasing and never lose heart in prayer. That's not always easy, is it? That's not always easy. But the spirit of that desire in Jesus' heart, it's captured in the person of the widow here. And as you look at the widow, she's not just a widow. She's a widow that's been wronged. She's a widow that's been mistreated. She needs justice. And so she worked the judicial system of her day. And what did the local judge do? Well, he just kept putting her off. She wouldn't be ignored, though, would she? She kept coming back to the judge, demanding justice in her case, right? She was a persistent widow. And she eventually was given the justice that she'd been seeking. The judge basically said, I can't take it anymore. And she keeps coming and keeps asking. I had rather just give her whatever she wants than to be bothered by her one more time. And so her persistence paid off. And Jesus implies here that the same thing is true in prayer. Persistence in prayer pays off. And why is that? One of the reasons is that because it proves whether you really want it or not. It proves whether you really want it or not, if you actually want that thing, right? Ask for something once, and it's just maybe a passing thing that can be ignored. But if you ask for something over and over and over again over a stretch of time, now that gets attention and changes things. I mean, isn't that how we parent? Isn't that how you parent? We probably all had that moment when a kid asked for maybe a puppy. The kid asked for a puppy, maybe right after he had been to his friend's house who had a puppy, or maybe right after a right after a movie like Benji the Hunted or something. I'm going back to my childhood now. I don't do that. I don't even know if they make Benji movies anymore. But nevertheless, right? Whatever it may be, maybe they saw a dog in a movie. But you hear, Mom, Dad, I want a puppy. And maybe the request comes at dinner. And what do we as parents do? We typically say, "Well, we'll see," right? Which is a roundabout way, that's parent speech for probably not, son. Probably not. But by bedtime, the puppy's forgotten. The puppy's forgotten. And so no parent takes that request for a puppy seriously because it wasn't serious, right? The kid really wasn't serious about it. It was just a thing that they saw and grabbed their attention for a moment. It was a flash in the pan and it was gone. A passing thought that was spoken out loud. But if that same child asks for a puppy every day for 2 months, brings it up at breakfast, brings it up in the car, has names picked out, has a spot in the backyard already decided where the doghouse is going to go, something's changed, right? And eventually it's like, man, I've got to get this kid a dog just so he'll shut up, right? Parents start responding differently. Not because the request got louder or more clever, but because persistence itself proved that the desire was real, right? A single request tells you what crossed somebody's mind. But a repeated request, well, that tells you what's on their heart. And that's the shift that persistence creates in prayer, right? A prayer, one time, it can be ignored, but persistence is what proves it's not just a passing thought. This is really your heart. This is really your desire. You bring it before God. And God hears all of our prayers, amen? But he especially hears the persistent ones. Persistence in prayer pays off. And knowing this should help you and me to pray over our 20 persistently with full faith in God. I wonder, what do you want to see happen in our 20 inside of that circle from Damascus to Lost Gap, from Little Rock to Bailey. What do you want to see happen here? Persistently, I challenge you, persistently go to God with that petition. That's the first principle. The second principle that we see here to help us pray over our 20 persistently with faith, full faith in God is this. Number two, God's heart is inclined to you. God's heart is inclined to you. Now, here in the parable, the widow kind of represents you and me. And the judge kind of represents God, right? The judge here has the authority to do something. That's why the widow's going to him. Whatever wrong happened to her, we're not told what the wrong was. Doesn't matter. But he had the authority and the ability to make it right. And that's totally true of God, isn't it? Our God is sovereign. He's almighty. Right here in our 20 and all around the world, he can do whatever he sets his holy will to do. He can right wrongs. He can work miracles. He can show favor. I mean, God can do all things. But that's not really, it's interesting where Jesus goes here with this parable. You see, while the judge represents God in one sense, he actually is the anti-God. That's really how he's set up here. He's set up as the antithesis to God. Notice that we learn about the judge's heart. What do you learn about his heart in the parable? Well, he doesn't really have one, does he? He doesn't really have one. He could care less. He couldn't care less about this widow, right? He has no heart for her. We learn in verse 2, he neither fears God nor respects man. He was an unrighteous judge, a heartless judge. He thought nothing of the widow. But he at least cared about himself and was tired of being bothered. So he gave her what she wanted. Which brings us to what Jesus says after the parable in verse 6, 7, and 8. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Now, what we have here is a classic argument from the lesser to the greater. From the lesser to the greater. If this wicked, good-for-nothing, heartless, self-centered judge can give a widow whom he cares nothing about what she wants, then surely God, who really has power, who really has strength, who really has a heart, he loves you with all of his heart, surely he will give you what you ask for in prayer. That's that argument from the lesser to the greater. He will, it says, give justice to his elect, which is the word that's used here in verse 7, which means his chosen people, his covenant people, his beloved people, those who have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, right? When his elect cry out to him day and night, God won't delay in giving them justice. And again, this group that's called the elect, that includes you and me and all who have trusted in Christ, been saved by the grace of God. God has fixed his love on us. His heart is inclined to us. That means he loves us and wants to give us whatever we ask for in prayer, right? Or whatever it may be, whether it's justice like the widow here, or maybe it's the situation that we're praying for, maybe just in general here in our 20. God, would you just give us favor with people in this community? Would you give us favor with people that don't know Christ, that we might even just get to share with them the good news? God, would you grant us favor with people who are Christians, but they're not connected to any church whatsoever? Would you give us favor with them? Father, would you give us favor with maybe those that are Christians who are connected to churches, Lord, but they just need encouragement in our area? Give us favor Right? Whatever it may be, he loves to give us what we ask for in prayer. Right? He longs to say yes to our prayers. We're not just some urchin from the street, right? I mean, we are his children. But just think if some random kid came up to you begging for something. You might, because they're a kid, give them what they want. You might. You have to think about it. You have to weigh it out. And you might do it the first time, but now the second time or the third time, Mom, hold on. But when it's your child, you have a hard time saying no, don't you? You have a hard time saying no. I have a hard time saying no. Why? Because my heart is already inclined toward my kids. They have my heart already. And so they're much more likely to get what they want. And they're much more likely to get it right away as soon as I can get it for them. That's because they have my heart. Beloved, it's the same way with God. When we go to him in prayer, we don't have to convince him to love us, do we? He already loves us, right? He's already moved heaven and earth to bring you into his family in Jesus Christ. He already loves you and longs to give you what you ask for. And knowing this should help you and me pray over our 20 persistently with full faith in God. And that brings us to our third and final principle that we see here in the text that's going to help us do that, which is this. Three is faith in God fuels our intercession. Faith in God fuels our intercession. Now, it's interesting here how Jesus wraps up this passage. He says all that he says, but at the very end of Luke 18, look at what he says there. Nevertheless, Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's kind of a strange question to follow up with after he's just promised speedy justice, isn't it? But why would Jesus pivot from assurance to kind of a warning? And the reason is because Jesus knows something about you and me. He understands that speedy, from God's perspective, isn't always speedy from our perspective, right? We measure delay in seconds, minutes, hours. God measures it in purposes, doesn't he? Purposes. He measures it in epochs. And that gap between God's expectation and our expectation, between the asking and the answering, that's where faith is tested. Amen? Some of you are there right now. You're right there right now. You've asked, and God is going to give it to you. He's promised to do it, yet it hasn't happened yet. And that gap can be a problem, right? But think about the farmer. Think about the farmer. He doesn't plant a seed in April and then dig it up in May to check on it, does he? No, man. He plants that seed in faith. He trusts that although he can't see what's going on, God, who grows that seed, is doing it, right? It's growing. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And if he dug it up early out of impatience, what would he do? He would kill the very thing that he was waiting for. And I just want to encourage you, right? The same thing is true for you and me in prayer. We are called to be persistent in prayer, but faith in God is what keeps you praying without giving up. As it says here in verse 1, right? Ought to always pray and not lose heart. That's the key right here. Full faith in God. Full faith says, I don't just keep asking, right? And notice here, he does say here, the parable clearly demonstrates, you don't just ask once. And I know some of y'all that you just face prayer that way. I ask for it, I ain't asking again. And in a sense, I get the faith in that. Like, it's like, I don't have to ask. I don't have to pester God. God heard my prayer. But don't miss this here that God illustrates that we're to go ask again. If we don't get an answer from God, go ask again and again and again. I don't just keep asking. Full faith says, I keep believing that God is going to do it. And if he doesn't do it, I trust him in saying no to my prayer. Right? That's full faith in God. God, I trust you. And so when Jesus asks here, will he find faith on earth when the Son of Man comes? That's Jesus. When he comes, will he find faith on earth? What he's really asking is, will we pray and not lose heart? And so I say to you, beloved, don't just pray persistently. Pray with full faith. Believe God is going to do something even before you see it. Even before you break ground and plant that seed of prayer in it. Our God is able. Amen? He certainly is. Don't ever give up on his promises. And don't ever lose heart because you trust God the whole way through. Pray. Pray over our 20 persistently with full faith in God. So, what might we pray for in our 20? Let me just hit you with five categories to pray about. First, pray for salvation. God put us here that we might reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might shine light into darkness. And I know you think you're in the Bible Belt, but I promise you there are lost people all around us. Pray that people encounter Jesus through us and respond to the gospel and their lives are transformed. So pray for salvation. Second, I would encourage you to pray for families. Pray for strong families. Families are the building block of our 20. They are. They're the building block of any society. They're the building block of our community. So pray for healed marriages. Pray for wise parents. Pray for the children. Pray for just healthy families that love the Lord. Third, I would encourage you to pray for freedom from bondage. There are people in our community, right? All sin, the Bible says, is slavery to the devil, okay? And those who are in sin, who are not in Christ, they are in bondage. That's spiritual bondage, but there may be, you know, addiction or abuse or isolation or anxiety. You know, there's some kind of destructive behavior that's got a person bound up. Pray for freedom from bondage in our 20. Fourth, I would challenge you to pray for this. Pray for wisdom and integrity for our leaders. God set up government and institutions to lead and to serve our community and to provide a place where we can blossom. So we got to pray for wise leaders in those positions. Our government, our police, our schools, our community leaders, all of those places, our businesses. Pray for them to lead well, to be full of compassion, to be full of integrity. And then finally, I would just challenge you to pray this way. Pray for hope and purpose for the next generation. It's easy to pray for the next generation, isn't it? Don't you want to see them thrive? Don't you want to see children and teenagers and young adults? Don't you want to see them protected from harmful influences? Don't you want to see them surrounded by godly people and awakened to their identity and purpose in Christ? Pray for that. Pray for that. We have a lot to celebrate as a church, don't we? And we're going to, man, all September, October, November. But may we celebrate our 100th by blessing our 20, and may we begin with prayer. Here's my final prayer. May we never lose heart in praying for our 20, because God can do all things.